Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cultivating Healthy and Vibrant Workplaces. So I hope you are doing well and enjoying the first few episodes of our new podcast. And, you know, I've certainly been having lots of fun interviewing our guests and preparing the episodes. So before we begin, I want to take this opportunity to thank each of you who has purchased our book, Cultivating Healthy and Vibrant Workplaces, which was officially launched last week. So to learn more about our book and to access links to purchase it on Amazon or elsewhere, please check out our book page at workplacewellnesscoe.com/book. And I'll have all the links in the show notes. We also have a limited time promotional offer available up to the end of February that just might interest you. So do check it out if you happen to be listening to this episode before the end of February. And also, when exploring our book, be sure to check out my interview with my husband, who happens to be the co-author of our book. We had a lot of fun recording it, and I believe it will probably even bring a smile to your face and maybe add some levity to your day. Today, we are joined by my good friend and co-mentor, Mr. Kerm Mosiri. Welcome, Kerm.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kerm is the founder and principal of Healthcare Alignment Solutions, and he's a seasoned healthcare executive, a certified executive coach, and an experienced intensive care nurse who has the unique capacity to draw on his experiences to aid clients to become more effective leaders, which is what we're talking about today. So for more than 14 years, he has supported leaders through a combination of executive coaching, mentoring, advising, and consulting services. Now, working with healthcare systems and nonprofit organizations, he has facilitated and led organization-wide cultural transformations to help align mission, vision, and values with strategic objectives. Throughout his career, Kerm has served in various senior leadership and board member roles while working in health systems in Michigan, Missouri, Colorado, and California. And he's also held positions including vice president of operations, 3 hospital president roles, and 2 chief strategy officer positions. Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. So did I leave anything out, Kerm?
No, that's plenty. It makes me feel very old, Lisa, but thanks for the nice summary of my career.
Yeah, no, very impressive. So how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. This year, I feel we really have great traction with the work that we're doing, both collaboratively and independently. And I am looking forward to figuring out how we can continue to help leaders just to become more effective in their roles, because I think it's needed now more than ever.
Oh, for sure.
All the challenges we're facing across industries worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the benefit of our listeners, Kerm and I met in an executive coaching certification program a couple of years ago, I guess now. Wow, where's that time gone? And, you know, we've been actually meeting pretty much every month under like a co-mentoring arrangement, if you will, right? And it's been a lot of fun. And it's he's also featured in our book. And our co-mentoring actually led to the co-creation of a course we piloted last year called Leader Turn Coach Course. And, you know, do check out his profile in our book. It's quite interesting. And he also shares his past practice of being an employee for a day. And he would do this, I think, like once a month, Kerm, was that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe you might even call him like the undercover boss of sorts, right? I mean, he was undercover in some respects, but not so in others. So yeah, as I mentioned, last spring, Kerm and I co-created and piloted a leader turned coach course that we now offer to organizations as a virtual one-day, highly interactive offering. And it's, you know, really a transformational course that consists of breakout groups and coaching demonstrations, practice activities, very hands-on. And as well, we provide an interactive course training portal with resources and videos. So, you know, they can get prepared and well-skilled even before coming into the course. So in today's episode, Kerm and I discuss the benefits of coaching versus managing employees in today's hybrid environment. So Carm, let's just get started and kick off with our first question, which is, you know, why performance coaching? What is performance coaching? And what are the benefits of coaching versus managing employees?
Sure. So Lisa, typically for folks like yourself and myself who are certified coaches, mm-hmm. we typically go into an engagement in which a leader identifies, I have an issue, a problem, an opportunity that I'm trying to work through, and I'd appreciate some coaching on how to get there. Different than performance coaching, which is someone that's already embedded in the organization in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. It could be a supervisor, a manager, a director or above. And it's really working with your associates, employees, whatever, you know, whatever term is the right term for your organization. And instead of managing them by directing them, you're coaching them, you're asking them questions that drives them to find a solution to whatever the challenges that they are facing at that mm-hmm. time. So it's very different than managing, which is giving direction. Performance coaching is around a performance issue that someone has, but you're guiding them through a process of identifying solutions for themselves that are acceptable to you as the leader.
Right.
They just can't identify a solution that doesn't work, but it has to be a solution that works. And then what's nice about performance coaching is then they own it. Whereas in managing, many times they're acting out on your direction and they don't feel ownership for the outcome. Mm. Performance coaching allows them to identify the solution and then they own it and are more passionate about executing for success.
Nice. I love how you frame that. So then why should organizations, I mean, to add on to what you just shared, why should organizations consider and invest in training leaders to be a coach?
Yeah, this is, you know, Lisa, you mentioned early on when you were talking about my background, the work that I have done with many organizations around cultural transformation. Mm-hmm. And I am very fortunate to have worked with organizations that we have transformed the cultures in a way that they have become recognized as best employers as a result of the work that our team did. Mm-hmm. And that work was to focus on engaging individuals. And ultimately, when they feel engaged, when they feel that input is sought, and when they feel that they are valued in their work, it changes the culture that people then take accountability and responsibility for driving the outcomes that you're seeking. Well, typically when you talk to the individuals that are hands-on, whatever the work is, mm-hmm. they feel many times that they are being led and managed opposed to being engaged. And so to me, you want to invest in training your leaders to become coaches so that they can create an environment of engagement, that they can create an environment in which individuals feel valued for their work and their opinions. And ultimately, it's about creating a culture of inclusion opposed to a culture in which it's felt to be directed.
And so given all that you shared, you know, for those who may still be working in a virtual or hybrid environment, you know, how can a leader who is equipped and trained as a performance coach, how can that help support them lead, you know, and you know, support their employees or their teams?
Yeah, you know, I have found, and you mentioned some of the work that I had done, and I had started this, oh my goodness, it was back in the 80s and early 90s in which I became a hands-on worker in each different department of the organizations that I was in. And the purpose of that wasn't to look over the shoulders of the workers. The purpose of that was to get engaged in the work so I understood what they had to encounter every day, and to ask them about what were the barriers that stood in their way and what would they see as solutions to break down those barriers, right? So the work was never about, let me check up on people, but it was more about my understanding and, more important, as importantly, the engagement of me connecting with those individuals so that they could see that their work was that important to the overall success of the organization.
Right.
It started when I was a vice president and then moved on to when I was a president and then moved on to when I was a strategy officer. Now, with the question that you asked me, all in my opinion, the importance of that is how you get engaged with the people that are providing the ongoing service, whatever that is, or the work product that has to come from that. Why do we want to engage with people that way? Well, because it creates this environment of mutual sharing. It creates an environment where people see that they are valued because their leadership takes time to engage them. And that's one of the biggest complaints we hear about people, or from people in the work environment, is their leaders are absent. They don't see them often enough.
Yeah. And if I may interject then, certainly in this virtual world we're working in, right? This hybrid or virtual environment. And so again, just to really pinpoint then, how do you see a leader, you know, again, working in that environment, virtual environment, really being, their leadership being enhanced and their ability to coach and lead their employees being enhanced by, say, being skilled in performance coaching? You know, is there any nuances there that you could speak to that will come into play in a virtual environment versus when they're, you know, exclusively working face-to-face in an on-site environment?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really thought through that. And I don't know that there's anything that is more enhanced coming from the virtual environment. I think from my perspective, it's the fact that you are taking the time to be engaged with those that you're leading. And so I do know that, you know, especially if you have a very difficult message, that you're dealing with someone that's struggling, I would typically not do that in a virtual environment.
Right.
Have a conversation with them. But if you can have a coaching conversation with them in a virtual environment, I think they see that as something in which they're not in trouble, right? They're not being disciplined, but instead they're being engaged, and that would work well in a virtual environment. They are not adhering to the plans that you jointly have come up with. That to me is not a conversation that I typically would have in any virtual environment. That's a one-on-one body language, eye-to-eye contact conversation in which to me you have to have in that environment and not in a virtual environment.
Well, it brings to mind, I mean, at this point in time, sadly, we're seeing a number of, you know, specifically tech companies, right? Laying off, you know, tens of thousands, in some cases, employees, right? So as you're saying all that, it just, and I don't know, you know, this might be just something worth discussing for a few minutes. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. If a manager is involved in letting, and sometimes it comes directly from HR or whomever, but if a manager is involved in sharing that, you know, their direct report is about to be let go, is there some way that being skilled in performance coaching would come into play there? And, you know, or do you just be directive and say, I'm sorry, you're being terminated, or however they phrase it these days, right?
Yeah, a tough situation. And I have colleagues across the country that are reaching out, dealing with this right now.
I bet.
You know, there's no great answer. But typically, I would not see, if you're in a situation in which you are going to have to go through a reduction in force, that performance coaching would be a tool that you would be used. Because then it feels, in my mind, and again, this is new to us. I mean, that's the beauty of podcasts. You never know where they're going to go, right?
Yeah.
But in performance coaching, what you're really doing is looking for an individual to identify a solution to a challenge.
Right.
If an organization has already made a decision that if they hadn't sought that input prior to making this decision, to try to performance coach them now or coach them at all, I think would be disingenuous.
Right.
Because they might come up with six solutions of why they should not be terminated. But the reality is the organization has likely gone through all of their options, validate it with their board of trustees, put a plan in action, and now you're going to say, we want your input about this plan, where in reality, you don't.
Yeah.
So I would not want to be disingenuous to an individual, but more, and I don't even, you know, trying to explain the rationale behind it
right.
isn't going to help the individual.
Yeah.
It's more just explaining this is the position we're in.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, thank you for that. That was a great insight and you know, and response. I think where I was coming from in my thought, in my mind about that particular question was, and this comes from some of my background as being an employment counselor. If, for example, an employee says, well, what do I do now? You know, and they're looking to their leader or, you know, who's about to be their ex-leader, you know, can you give me some coaching tips on what I do now? Right. And, you know, this is just a question that could easily yeah. come up, right? I mean, would yeah. it be wrong for their manager, their leader to engage in performance coaching if they felt equipped to do so in that situation?
What you've identified is the opportunity that if someone says, boy, I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah.
Then you can call that performance coaching, in which you could say to them, well, if you did know where you go from here, what would that look like? So that's really what you're doing. I see where you're going now is performance coaching around what's next,
right,
opposed to performance coaching around the why
right.
that we have to go through this.
Right.
And I think that would be an excellent conversation. But again, if I was going through this, I would not be doing any of this virtually. I would be having these conversations with individuals one-on-one, face-to-face. And then if you go into performance coaching there around where do I go from here, then to me, that's a genuine thing that they can walk out of there and say, boy, this didn't feel great, but the person was there, they were committed to me, they cared about me, and they tried to help me through this process.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, nice, nice. Well, you know, that's a great segue then to my next question. So how do you distinguish between coaching versus mentoring? Because there is sometimes a little bit of confusion between the two different roles, right?
Yeah, and actually there's a third, which is advising,
right?
Because you really do have three. So typically a coach, and you know this well because you've listened to the International Coaching Federation that has defined coaching as a process of either what you know, there's a lot of terms, but either active or appreciative inquiry or active listening, right? Which is you listen, coaching is you're hearing that someone has a challenge or there is a challenge. And coaching is asking a series of very pointed questions based on an individual's response and allowing them to guide the process of finding a resolution without you directing them in any way. So if you said the best way for me to get bubble gum out of this machine is to put a penny in and turn the switch, and my response to that is, that's great. So you know how to get the bubble gum out. If you came to me and said, I have no idea how to get the bubble gum out of this machine, coaching says, well, if you did know, how might you do that? So I'm not directing you. I'm asking you a question. And you would respond. And based on your response, I'd ask you another question and a series of questions until you finally identified how you could get the bubble gum out of the machine. And you might say, I'm going to take a hammer and I'm going to smash it. Okay, if that's the best resolution, but now that bubblegum machine no longer can work, is that really the best resolution? Again, asking you a question, not directing you. No, you can't take a hammer there, right?
Right.
Mentoring or advising, let's go all the way to advising. Advising would be, I'd say, you know what? You're asking me how to get the bubblegum out of the machine. Here's a penny, put it in and turn the knob.
Right.
Now I've just told you how to do it, right? Now the next time, you might know how to do it or you might not. You might come to me again, opposed to you knowing and owning the solution. Now I'm telling you how to do it. I'm advising you how to do it. Mentoring lies in between. Mentoring lies a great deal on experience. So I have gotten bubblegum out of a machine before, and here's how I've used it. Maybe you would like to use that method. So there's a third option, which is I'm using experiences and my understanding to guide someone without telling them. And I say, you might want to consider this as an option, or I've seen this in another organization, or I've experienced this in this way. Does that help you think about addressing it in a different way than taking a hammer to the bubblegum machine? So those are the three different things. One is appreciative inquiry, active listening, and directing through, not directing, but asking a series of questions for the resolution. One is saying, I have experience, and giving options. And the other is saying, here's what I suggest you do.
Right. Oh, I love how you broke that. That was so simple. And I love the bubblegum analogy, that machine. I think that's brilliant. I don't know how, when you came up with that, because we've never talked about that analogy before.
About 30 seconds ago.
Brilliant. Well, good on you for thinking on your feet. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. You know, like, I just looked up again just to familiarize myself with the concept around appreciative inquiry, because it's one of the questions we wanted to talk about, right? And, you know, it really is about discovery. You know, it's about helping them dream. And, you know, actually the four prongs, the true definition of a model of appreciative inquiry involves discovery. Like, you know, participants, you help them explore the best what is, right? And then dreaming, like helping them envision a future, a solution that works for them, that they want, right? And then helping them to design, you know, helping them move forward, right? Design what is, and helping them to design around their visions, right? And then destiny is really about helping them put those strategies into action. So I love those four D's, and I can't take credit for it. I just found it. It's a fairly common appreciative inquiry model, and you can check it out online. Discovery, dream, design, and destiny.
So part of it is just know your audience. And, you know, in my particular industry in healthcare, I had to meet with chairmen of the boards and chief neurosurgeons and heart surgeons, and I had to meet with environmental service aides that were cleaning rooms. You had to know your audience and speak to them in their language.
I love that, because that just sums up coaching right there, right? In the fact that we mirror back, right? The intellect, the behavior, the personality, right? That helps to build a rapport, right? And you're so right. That's that, right? If you start coming off with all these terminologies, and again, I for purposes today, I just read it out just to show I did my homework, right? Or just just to let you know there is a model. But not that I would, of course, you know, talk about the four D's in an actual coaching session, but let's just say you had someone who was really intellectual and just really analytical, that might speak to them. So that, again, it just comes back to knowing who you're coaching, right? And that's sort of the, you know, the primary fundamental of coaching. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, I was coaching a chief nurse executive that was PhD trained. Our conversations were very different than when I talked to a nursing director.
Yeah. So coming back to a leader.
Yeah.
So coming back to a leader who's coaching an employee, the same applies, right?
That's exactly right.
Knowing your employee and knowing what and how they'll respond, and that's govern yourself accordingly, right?
And that's why it goes back to, why did I work in the positions that I did throughout every position in the institution, no matter what division? It was because I had to know the people.
Yeah,
I had to understand them. I had to understand how they communicate it. When administrations, you know, I remember when I was a nurse in the ICU, in communications would come out from administration, and I'd say, I have no clue what they're getting at. But when they came down and talked to me as a person, I connected with them. They used to call administration the first place I used. Those people are from Mahogany Row. Because all their offices were outfitted in mahogany furniture.
Mahogany Row. I love it.
Yeah, they didn't connect with the people.
Right.
So your point is exactly on target. You just have to know your people. You have to connect with them. And then you have to put language in their terms that they understand.
Yeah. Nice. Now, in our pilot offering of the Leader Turn Coach that we both co-facilitated several months ago, a term came up, or a term we actually addressed, and we had some discussions and coaching activities around it, was coaching up. Coaching up. And it was really an area of interest. And so I thought, well, let's just, you know, speak to that because it was a hot topic in our course. So yeah. What is your understanding or experience of this concept of coaching up? And maybe if you could, of course, contextualize it to maybe if you have any experiences that you can speak to on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there's great literature on what coaching up means. And some take it with regards to taking an individual that's in a position and coaching them up into the next role. That's right. One thing you'll see in the literature. The concept of coaching up that we covered centered around you have an individual that you report to in a position above you that is creating barriers to you achieving your goals and objectives, or is someone that for whatever reason you're not connecting with in an authentic way.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience in coaching up has been, in positions, people get promoted for many different reasons, right? So the question is, what can you gain from their experience above you that can help you learn and be better? And then what can you help them with that maybe they don't have in their toolkit? Mm. So for example, I was a chief strategy officer, but I worked for a CEO that was completely focused on finance, that drove every decision that an individual made. And he would be extremely effective on helping to drive the financial performance of the organization. But the culture, the satisfaction, the engagement of the caregivers were non-existent. Mm. So number one in financial performance, number 10 out of 10, in satisfaction, culture, and engagement of his caregivers. 1 in 10. Well, I knew how to do 10 really well through all my experiences. And I really wasn't focused on number one because we had a CFO and a CEO that were focused on number one. So when I was trying to drive cultural change, he said, why should I spend a dime on that? Look at how much money we can make doing the way that I'm doing it. Well, he created barriers to the strategic expansion of the organization. Now, that wasn't just my opinion. I got confirmation from other leaders in the region. I got confirmation from the leaders in the corporation that these changes were warranted and necessary. And I was asked with the task to coach up to him to help him see the value of the difference between just focusing on finance or focusing on a balanced approach that increased the overall satisfaction level of those we cared for, the overall engagement of those that were doing the caring, and ultimately the culture within the organization that reduced the turnover. Okay. So coaching up for me was about helping somebody that was ineffective in doing something, but the organization was well aware that ineffectiveness was harming the overall performance. And so instead of waiting for the boss to do it, because the boss had 7 states of executives to deal with, I could do it directly because I was there.
Just again, clarify. Yeah, just clarify. Mm-hmm. What was your role again at the time? What was your position?
Chief strategy officer. I reported directly to this person, and he reported to somebody in a corporate office several states away.
And so what was the end result? What was the impact of your coaching up?
Well, actually, we engaged an organization. We went through a cultural transformation. We engaged the employees. We created, of the 5,000 employees, we created an employee-led group of people who started to transform the organization by setting up internally how they would start to behave and care for those that we serve.
And so obviously you did a good job.
2 years.
But
it wasn't just me, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
sure.
I knew I was the one that was leading the charge, but I also had a team of people I worked with that was reinforcing the need for the change. And then the boss above the person I was reporting to was saying, tell me about what you're doing in these areas, because he was aware of the work that I was doing to help coach up.
So if you were to put a fine point on in terms of, if you can do this, mm-hmm. one specific thing about your coaching up ability or process or technique, you know.
Yeah. It's number one, just being authentic.
Being authentic.
Really saying to somebody, I need your help.
Right.
And I really need you to be very focused on this and to help support me in making sure we're successful as a team. So it's just being authentic.
I need your help.
It's really saying, I need your help.
I need your help.
That's what works for me. Yeah. Now, I'm sure there are others that will say, hooking up looks very different for them, mm-hmm. and I respect that, and I want to learn from that. But for me, that's the way, and I've had to do it more than once.
In your opinion, why is it important for a leader as a coach to ask for feedback about the coaching process at the end of a session, or maybe even during the coaching session as a check-in?
You had identified some very key aspects of what appreciative inquiry are.
Right.
Those are very different than the language that I use. The example of why I'm using that is that I could be trying to coach somebody who says to me, this process isn't working for me. I'm not understanding what we're doing here. I'm not understanding my role and your role. If I just glance over that and I'm not paying attention to the person sitting on the other side, whether that be on a screen or the other side, you know, in a chair next to me, then what I'm doing is saying, I have a way of doing business and it doesn't matter whether it's working for you. I'm going to continue to do the business the way I do it. By asking for that feedback and that input, it best helps you to understand how you can help them to be successful, how you can help them to be more effective. And the only way as a coach that I'm going to be more effective is to understand the needs of those that I'm coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So one style may work very well for somebody. Another style may work better for another. If I'm not asking for feedback, I don't know if I'm helping either one of them.
Yeah, and you know, and again, you may have just said this, and I'll maybe say it differently perhaps, but it really is a check-in, especially to do it during. And I would anticipate, I mean, asking for feedback, it takes a lot of maturity, right? It does, and it humbles us, but that's how we grow and we learn. And especially in the middle or at the end, or let's just say the middle or during a coaching session, it can change the whole trajectory of the coaching session, which can change the outcome, the desired goal, you know, the enhancement of the performance of the person you're coaching, right?
Yeah. Yeah, without question. So there's a couple of things that you really can unpack there, right? One is, are you listening attentively?
Mm-hmm.
Two, are you observing the individual that you're coaching?
Right.
And three, are you asking for feedback, right?
Yeah.
Because if you do one and two well, feedback likely only needs to come at the end. Because if you're observing, they're not understanding directionally what you're doing. If you're hearing from them, there's
right.
a lot of reluctance in their responses, then you should be calling a timeout saying, let's reevaluate where we are, what we're doing, and how this can help you, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not looking, you're not listening, and you're not paying attention to body language, then you're likely going to end up at the end saying, how'd it go for you? And they say, not well, yeah. I didn't get where we're.
Well, a question that we often talked about in our coaching training, and we probably still use, and I know you and I use it sometimes, is if we just feel we're not connecting, we're not getting where, or we just feel it's just not going well, the coaching session, right? So this, again, coming back to the leader as a coach with their employee, right? And you can phrase it differently maybe than what I'm doing, but you might just say, like, there's potentially a question that I should be asking you. So if you mm-hmm. were in my shoes, what question
absolutely
would you like me, you know, would you ask of me, or would you like me to ask of you? Now you can, you know, I don't know if I've.
No, that's, I think that's a perfect example of a way to not necessarily say, hey, I want to call a timeout, how's it going for you?
Right.
But it's saying, there's something I'm doing that's not connecting. If you were the coach, what question would you ask me about this situation?
And have you ever used that question in your coaching?
I have.
And what was the outcome? How did the person respond? Were they caught off guard?
No, initially it was a smile.
Okay.
Like, wow, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And then it was, I need to think about that.
Yeah.
And then this is where the coach, the leader as coach, needs to really be willing to wait in silence and allow the individual the time they need to process
And not rush it or hurry it. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're always on the clock. We're in a hurry. Yep. We got another session. We got another meeting. And we rush the process.
Or maybe that you say, okay, let's take a time out and we'll come back to that in the next session and give them time. If they really are struggling but want to give you, you know, yeah, it might be an indication that, hey, let's just end this now and we'll circle back to that question.
Right. And in many, you know, again, it's very situational. To me, that would be dependent on how urgent the change is necessary.
Right.
If
yes.
something's going on that you can't wait two more weeks for something to change.
For sure.
Then you got to direct it a little differently. If you have the luxury of time, that's a perfect way. Do you want, instead of telling them, let's do this, again, it's a question. Would you like to think about that? And we pick up in our next session.
Yeah.
That again is more of that appreciative inquiry, active inquiry.
Always putting it back to the person being coached, right? Let them drive the coaching session, as we say, right?
That's exactly right. Perfect.
Yeah. Nice. What are the most common challenges you experienced maybe in coaching individuals these days?
The things that I am encountering throughout all of the work that I'm doing is communication and listening. That's a big one that people struggle with in leadership roles. Cultural transformation. How do you lead them? What's the process? What's my role? Meaning them. Proving executive presence. Very leadership focused. Networking skills.
Okay.
How to delegate. And then the last one is organization skills. How do I organize my work? How do I manage the 1,000 things that are coming to me on top of the number of meetings I have, on top of all the phone calls that I have, on top of leading my team?
Right.
And those are the typical ones that I'm working
on. So I just, again, forgive me if you already addressed this, but the challenge or the need to become more skilled in how to become an influencer within your organization. Does that come up? Did you address it? Or...
Yeah, I don't know if I did, but influencing skills, yes, very critical. Especially for those that are wanting to continue to progress in their leadership career.
Right.
And again, a lot of the coaching that I did, perform is within healthcare, especially around how do you influence executives and then how do executives influence physicians.
Yeah, which speaks to, again, in some respects, the coaching up that we just talked on, right?
That's right.
So
that's
everything right. you just described could very well, because we always want to bring it back to our focus of this discussion here today in that, so just correct me if I'm wrong, but everything you just described could very much come into play with a manager or director who is coaching someone that reports to them, as it could be to you in your role as a certified executive coach, you know, an independent coach, right? So there's a lot of, I think, you know, universality and similarity, I think, in areas of coaching. Would that be?
Yeah. And again, the issue here that we're trying to balance is performance coaching, right? Because performance coaching is typically around someone who's not performing well.
Right.
Or how do I coach somebody to perform at their highest level, even if they're a good performer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's around really performance. What I typically am working with is someone who is engaged in a challenge that they're facing from a leadership perspective, like I've lost control of my team. What are the tools that I can use to regain control so that we're working effectively together? Now, all of this is about effectiveness. So yes, most definitely, a frontline individual needs to be effective in their role, and you can coach them to be effective opposed to manage them to be effective.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I always upfront clarify with the individual I'm coaching, is this a peer coaching session where we're going to use active listening, active inquiry, appreciative inquiry, or do you want a hybrid model where you want to draw on either some of my experiences or some of my thoughts and advisory services to help you? One of the things I would guard individuals who are learning to be coaches as leaders with employees and performance coaching is, we'll have a tendency to go to what's most comfortable, which is to direct,
right,
which is to manage, and which is to advise. And so if they're interchanging them, they're likely going to get away from coaching pretty quickly and go back to managing and advising,
right,
or mentoring and advising. But clarify up front what the individual is looking for, and then you can modify your approach based on that.
Nice, nice. Well, that's a perfect way to end off. Is there anything else, putting on my coaching hat, is there anything else you would like to add that you haven't shared?
No,
no. No? Okay.
I just thank you for giving me this opportunity.
It was wonderful.
I hope it's of value to others.
Yeah, I hope so too. So on that note, I thank you so much, Karim. This is a lot of fun. So to our listeners, thank you so much. We hope that we have brought you some, you know, insights around how to lead if you're a leader, you know, how to lead as a coach as opposed to managing your employees. And if this is a topic you'd like for us to, you know, revisit in a future episode, I can certainly have Karim. I know how to find him. I can have him back on very quickly. So thanks again, Karim. And can someone reach out to you if they wanted to connect with you?
I have a website, healthcarealignmentsolutions.com, and then they can always contact you and just ask to connect with me.
For sure. Yeah. Well, thanks again. And to your listeners, you know, thank you. Until we meet again, stay healthy, stay well, and keep on keeping it real. Bye for now. Take care.